Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just
speaking into the void?
But with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers, a network of 130 million of them, in fact. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, seniority, skills, and did I say job title? See how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from, I know the way, to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by Chev and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Let's do this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
J.J. McCarthy. The Vikings did that to the Bears.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Because they had a resilient champion of a kid. I couldn't be prouder.
Today's guests. Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Comedian Frank Caliendo. Host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, Paul Feinbaum. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on Disney Plus, live on the ESPN app everywhere, live on ESPN Radio, presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner is going to join us in 20 minutes' time to turn the page on week one, turn the page to week two. What did he think about what he saw with me in Brazil? What did he think about what he saw on the bulk of week one Sunday activity before he called the Monday night game in Chicago, along with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One Radio, between the Vikings and the Bears? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls, as well as Frank Caliendo stops by in studio. He always makes me laugh. Makes me laugh quite a bit. And hopefully that'll be the same with you when he joins us in studio in hour number two. And then Paul Feinbaum joins us in hour number three, when the only way that you're allowed on the show is to have a show with your name on it. So the Paul Feinbaum show host will be on the Rich Eisen Show with me. And there'll be a lot of us talking about ourselves in hour number three. And college football, that is all. Good to see you over there, Christopher. How are you? Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich, what's up, man?
How are you, DJ Mikey?
I'm doing well, Rich.
Mike Del Tufo, good to see you.
I was thinking, Mike, you've been here a lot lately.
I told you guys, the plane gets kind of in a good orbit at this point.
No, we all know what it is. He's looking for free tickets to Disney World.
Wow.
That's what it is. He wants to go to Disney.
My brother is actually, he owns a timeshare in Disney.
Oh, does he?
He's coming to Disneyland in the spring.
Who is?
For the first time.
Frank.
He's going to make a studio appearance again.
Wow. Here?
Yeah.
Okay. Has he never been to Disneyland?
Never been to Disneyland.
That's why he's here. You're here, so by the time he ramps up to Disneyland, you can get in for free.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Okay. What Star Wars? He's a big Star Wars.
We're happy to have you whenever you
Thank
wish.
You, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, the candle appears to be lit. How are you, sir?
Candle's lit. So does that mean hour three we're getting Jimmy Kimmel on the show? People who have a show named?
Well, he'd be eligible. I don't know if he's going to show.
Oh, okay, I'm just...
Okay. But yes,
He's eligible.
He's third hour eligible.
Is he coming in like this, Rich?
He's third hour eligible. Good to see you.
Is he,
Be careful. Be careful. Well, you don't want to be meme that way. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial.
Very good.
I'm sitting in the old living room last night with Coop, my 14-year-old. Watching the Yankees on YES with our buddy Michael Kay, who's on ESPN Radio 1050 in New York, just like we are. So we say hello to everybody back home for me. Kay and Cohn and Paul O'Neill, great listen.
Taking on
the Detroit Tigers. And then, you know, the Yankees give up 9 runs in the 7th inning. And it was right around then where I stopped following baseball, and I realized
you're out.
This isn't the only reason why I've got a
a depressed feeling on this front. And the reason I finally found it, there's no football last night. There's no live game for us to talk about today.
I know.
I mean, think about it. There was football on Thursday last week, right?
Well, we had 5 days in a row.
And then there was football on Friday in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, all sorts of college football.
Full slate.
Yep. A full slate.
Yeah.
Sunday. Oh, my goodness. Oh, right? Week one. Week one. The NFL season in bulk. And then Monday night.
More.
Monday night football. Yeah, more. And then last night. Fernando Cruz can't throw a freaking strike. And I'm like sitting there thinking to myself,
no football.
This doesn't have the same juice for me.
That's you know true. What I just now realized why that is, Rich? Huh. Tuesdays are meant to keep marriages together.
Is that that's what it's there for? But what about for those who are not married? I've got a never married man here.
We don't
and
count.
A never again married man over there. Perfect. And a man who's got a beautiful relationship with a mother or his child. Who is not technically married.
Yeah.
I'm the only married one here.
Yeah. Same. Non-married ones, they don't care about. It's you guys.
It's all good.
The family bond, we got to keep together.
Oh, you're going to show up one day just like Stone Street and go, I got married over the weekend. Am I going to get one of those things?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. That's not while we're starting this program, though. But I thought to myself, I miss football. And Wednesdays, as you know, are for days to take one last look. Like this is like the last chance you have to look back at week one as a Wednesday.
Yep.
Because tomorrow, you're already, it's yesterday's news. Okay. You got another week that's starting. It's kind of like, what's the analogy here? Okay, here's the analogy. You don't play golf. And you don't play golf.
No, I watch golf.
But Chris, you and I, right?
Okay. Locked.
What would you say if when you play with somebody you've never met before? Like you're just hooked up in a foursome.
Just a random stranger.
Somebody that you're playing with.
Yeah, that's awkward to me.
Well,
actually amazing.
But by what? Tee box of the third hole, you've now reached the point where if you don't know this person's name, you can no longer ask.
Yeah, you can't really ask.
You know what I mean?
And then they're just like, great putt, man. All right, guy, good job.
Right.
Nice. Good shot, dude.
Not just golf. That's life, though.
You know, back in my early ESPN days, very long time ago, I played at a golf course called Tunxis, T-U-N-X-I-S. I'm wondering if our friends in Bristol know where that if it's still around. Public course, got hooked up with somebody, and I missed a putt by like a foot short. And I said, just hit it, Sally, is what I said out loud. And the person I got connected with, a woman, she goes, what? And I thought to myself, oh, I shouldn't say that stuff out loud. It sounds, you know, misogynistic. And no, her name was Sally.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I'm just saying that this is the last day where you can actually revisit. You know what I mean? Like, this is like the tee box third hole, right? Because if you play two holes and you don't know the person's name.
Yeah, because two holes is like 20, 25 minutes.
At least more.
Yeah, sometimes more.
More than that.
Yeah.
So you're on the tee box of the third hole. It's the last chance you could say to somebody, I'm sorry, what was your name again? After that, it's now... Even tee box third hole, you're pushing it.
They're kind of like green,
leaving green second hole. Is that it? Walking to the third tee box?
Yeah, walking to the third tee box, you're probably like, hold on, what was your name again?
Right. So, but in the football coverage world, it's clearly delineated. Right today is the last day we could start talking about because we're page turning. Who's hurt? Who's not? All that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So I've got a top five list to commemorate. And I maybe we'll make this a regular. We haven't done this before. I'm like wondering why we haven't done this before. Top five teams better than we thought, presented by Hyundai.
Oh.
So this is the, I guess, the reverse Dennis Green. They're better than we thought they were.
Hit the podium.
And we, we're...
Then bring in Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart is up next.
Or we're putting them on the hook of having to be better than we thought they were. Right?
That's it.
Matt Leinart is not next. Kurt Warner's next. Yeah. By the way...
Same team.
Interestingly enough...
Same team.
Kurt Warner wound up being next after Matt Leinart.
People at home are going to think we planned this. It's just organically happened.
I did not. We just stepped in it.
I love it when we do that.
Top
five. High five. One, two, three, four, and five.
Rich's top five.
These teams were better than we thought they were. Here we go. Number five on the list. I'm just going to go half of the team because I think the defensive side of the football, we didn't have much of a concern since their new head coach, that's his technically side of the football.
Okay.
The Jets offense is number five on this list. I think they are better.
Jets offense.
The Jets offense. Better than we thought they were.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Breece Hall runs for 100 yards, right?
That was pretty impressive.
The Jets have not had a 1,000-yard rusher since Chris Ivory in the middle of last decade.
Chris Ivory, what a name.
That's the last throwback. It's the longest such 1,000-yard rusher drought in the NFL, and Breece Hall's already 100 yards in against the Steelers' defense.
That drought's ending this year.
Justin Fields looked terrific.
Yeah.
He didn't look lost. Now, you know, Kurt Warner may come on and, if we do get to the subject matter, say, well, Rich, I look at tape. You're just a moron with a remote control in your hand.
He knows a little bit more than we do.
Which is, you know, I don't think he's going to say that.
No. He's too nice. But the way you guys pick on him sometimes on game day.
That's a step towards Ryan Clark right there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I knew where you were going.
What's up, everybody? But in all seriousness, Jets offense, man.
Yeah.
Better than we thought they were. All you need to know is Mike Tomlin, at his podium presser this week in advance of the Steelers' home opener against the Seahawks, said, we've got to button up our run defense. I don't recall the last opposing coach to have said that after facing the Jets in a while. That's number five. Number four, top five teams better than we thought they would be. I'm putting the Las Vegas Raiders here. And I know a lot of folks were like, let's see what Pete Carroll can do. But I don't think anybody nationally was saying, oh, gosh, yeah, Geno is the right move. 364 yards passing.
Woo!
They got a touchdown out of Ashton Jeanty, but the Patriots were basically like, that kid is not going to have a day against us in his first start in the NFL. And Geno's slung it around, and the defense did its job, and Pete was chewing gum and stomping around and doing his Pete Carroll thing. And the Raiders are 1-0, and the autumn wind is indeed a pirate, because technically, when are we in autumn? A couple weeks, maybe?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, I mean, technically, summer's over.
Is that right? I mean, Labor Day. Listen,
we live here, though. Seasons run different.
Yeah, we don't know.
Summer goes until
September 22nd.
There you go. So, in the final throes of the autumn solstice, the final days of summer wind is a pirate. They got it done. The Raiders are fourth on the list. Number three, I'm going to go half here.
Another half.
Another halfsies here. This team was supposed to start slow again. They were supposed to not do anything. And if Joe Burrow and the offense were only going to come up with 17 points, they're going to lose 15 ways to Sunday.
Hey,
and the Bengals defense, baby. The Bengals defense, better than we thought they were.
Interesting.
Better than we thought they could be.
Or they played the Browns.
Browns, you're the king of like the Bengals. Should have lost to the Browns. The only guy could have kicked one of the two.
Just one of them.
I mean, you know, they're trying to buy a vowel and a made field goal there.
And
with
he
this
kept
guy.
His job, or the other guy did.
Moody. Listen, Bengals defense, man. Al Golden, baby, dialing it up. Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
So you're going offense half, defense half. Are you King Solomon right now? Cutting stuff.
I don't know. I'm just telling you the way I feel. And these are all better than we thought they would be. Number two on the list are the Indianapolis Colts. The only thing that upsets me about this, how did I not think of Indiana Jones? Of course, Chris Berman did. What a brilliant, brilliant nickname. Indiana Jones. Daniel Indiana Jones. And if they keep winning, it's going to be and the Temple of Doom. Right? Here we go, man.
I hope so.
Here we go.
Now,
I guess we're putting a pin in this to see just how poorly the Dolphins play moving forward.
Indy plays Denver this week. Let's see.
But you can only play the teams in front of you.
Exactly.
And the team that was in front of them were ready to be ripe to be beaten 33-8. And they did it.
Yeah.
And Jones did it. And the running game and the Alec Pierce toe tapping and Pittman scoring. And here we go. Making Tua, you know, turn it over in bunches, being asked those questions of him and pissing him off, even though he was just half salty Tua. A nightmare of a day, as Mike McDaniel was calling it, essentially looking for any silver lining that they had to sit through that. And it was embarrassing, and it's going to be better for them maybe moving forward. Colts are two on this list. Number one team, better who than we thought they were. You betcha, TJ. You betcha. 100%. Chris and I had them finishing last in the NFC
well, that's
East.
That's on you two.
I understand that. Come on, man. You can't sit here and say the Dallas Cowboys aren't the number one team in last week, better than we thought they were. They came out and hit the Eagles in the mouth. It helped that, you know, L-O-O-G-I-E, loogie, you know, like that.
Truly Huck loogie.
It was marvelous.
As we found out yesterday, a highly expensive loogie from Jalen Carter. You know, $57,000 game check worthy.
Could have been worse.
Spittle. No, it could have been. We'll talk about that later on. But the Dallas Cowboys, it was a run game. Javonte Williams was crushing it. Scored two touchdowns early enough for a guy in my poker league, fantasy league, to pick him up and start him over Garrett Wilson. I was rooting so hard for Garrett Wilson to be better than Javonte Williams just so we could throw it in this guy's face.
Was it Murph?
No. Oh. Murph wanted him kicked out of the league, essentially. But bottom line is Javonte Williams was running it really well. Kenny Clark acquitted himself very well. Cowboys are the number one team, better than we thought they were in week number one.
You have one more. I did not know this.
Give Brockman the one that he wants right
there. You think we need one more?
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll get one more.
All right, I'm going to go one more times two to make up for the halves that I left on the table.
You are King Solomon.
The bottom half of the AFC South. Bottom half.
Okay.
Titans and Jaguars. The Titans came close. Horseshoes and hand grenades for them. And then the Jaguars, guys, I'll tell you this,
They won.
They looked better than we thought they were.
Except for me, I picked them to win the division.
Good enough. Well, not everybody is as wise as you, I guess.
Here, coach.
And Cincinnati's defense, that's who's next. We'll see what happens here, man. Travis Etienne, 100 yards rushing.
Yeah, well,
Brian, your guy, our BT Jr.
BT
runs one
rushing
in.
Touchdown.
What? Right?
Travis Hunter
playing both ways. Here we go. Those are the top five teams, better than we thought they were.
Like it.
Presented by Hyundai here, right on the Rich Eisen Show. Man, I miss football. When's the next game?
It's just one
tomorrow.
Day, Rich.
I'll take it tomorrow.
It was just 24 hours. You know?
Hey, man.
Good one tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah, it is indeed. Come
good
in,
one
and we
tomorrow.
Talked about it with Al Michaels as our first guest of the week in studio. Our next in studio guest, after Bert Kreischer yesterday left us in tears, is Frank Caliendo. Our sides will be hurting when he joins us in hour number two. But let's take a break. Kurt Warner will be joining us next, as he will every single Wednesday throughout the NFL campaign. My Hall of Fame friend from NFL Network and the YouTube booth and more, QB Confidential on YouTube's Kurt Warner.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. With rising housing prices and steeper mortgage rates, we know home ownership may seem too expensive to be achievable. But that's why we offer a home buyer's choice loan that can open the door to affordable home ownership. Our home buyer's choice loan has no down payment options available, which means you don't have to wait years to save money. And with our no refi rate drop, you may be able to lower your rate in the future without refinancing. Plus, while most lenders require borrowers to purchase private mortgage insurance unless they can make a 20% down payment, we don't require PMI. Finally, we offer fixed payments, so your monthly payment will always be the same. So if you're looking for your first home or your next home, you can open the door with a Navy Federal Home Buyer's Choice Loan. Visit NavyFederal.org to learn how you can achieve home ownership. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility requirements. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's up to 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel? What if it's all of that and more? What is it then? The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, one big happy Disney Plus ESPN streaming family, along with those who are listening on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. This is my Hall of Fame friend. I've known him forever and a day, and thrilled that he's going to be with us every single Wednesday during the football season on the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody check out his QB Confidential, the channel that he has on YouTube, and also thrilled that I got a chance to call the Chiefs Chargers on YouTube with Kurt Warner. Good to see you here, sir. Let's just jump right in, because you called the Monday night game on Westwood One Radio. Yep. The fourth quarter for J.J. McCarthy, or every other drive for Caleb Williams, not the first drive, which is the quarterback we might see moving forward more likely? J.J. McCarthy fourth quarter, or Caleb Williams outside of the first 15 scripted, Kurt Warner?
Yeah, I mean, let's hope both. But, you know, I will say, I thought Caleb played a really good game for what was available to him. I thought his game, just in terms of the level of difficulty between these two guys, his was way harder than J.J.'s was. But I did love the definitive way that J.J. attacked in the fourth quarter, and some of the throws down the field, and his comfort level in the pocket. So I still want to see more growth from Caleb. So I'm going to lean towards J.J. McCarthy on this one, that he got settled in. And I just liked his demeanor throughout the game, even though, you know, it wasn't easy, and there wasn't a lot available to him early in the game, and wasn't making many throws. He kind of hung in there and made some really definitive big-time throws down the stretch.
Okay, and so what do you think are his strong suits? Having watched the tape now, I'm sure you have watched the All-22 of McCarthy. Yeah. What do you think?
You know, I think the first thing is, you know, the mental part of it. I think when you hear people talk about J.J., that's one thing they talked about anyways, is kind of mental toughness. Having that pick six and the struggles early and nothing really going your way, no real throws out there for you. To kind of fight through all that, be down by, you know, two scores in the fourth quarter and not really blink and attack, I think is probably the biggest thing. You know, there was some speculation too. You know, I heard some people talk that maybe Justin Jefferson was short on that out route that that J.J. threw to him that turned into a pick six. So maybe it was a mistake by the wide receiver. I don't have anything to verify that, but you know, I use that to say, you know, because the footwork of JJ didn't mesh with the route of the other JJ. Now there's a lot of quarterbacks in the league that will take that longer footwork on shorter throws. So I don't know that for sure. And we might never know, because I'm sure JJ McCarthy's not going to come out and say it was his fault, or, you know, Kevin O'Connell, if it was, it would probably have to come down to Justin Jefferson saying, you know what, I was short on that. And I hurt the kid with that. But I don't know if we'll ever know. But, you know, just looking at the footwork to the route. So I'm just throwing that out there, because, like, if that was the case, and so now you're on a big stage, and now you throw a pick six, and now everybody's saying, oh, you know, boo, JJ. And if it wasn't even your fault, to kind of have that mental fortitude to bounce back. And I thought his first touchdown pass was a phenomenal throw, a lot of bodies in the middle, and to drive that in there. And maybe even the turning point for me of the whole game was the last throw of the first half that he made, that deep crossing throw. I have no idea why Chicago was playing man-to-man in that situation, but they left man-to-man, and they didn't hesitate. They called the pass play, and he drove that deep over that ended up getting 3 points before the half. And I thought that's when things really turned around for him. But we saw some, you know, really good kind of laser throws. That was something he was good at Michigan, as you know. I thought, you know, he needs to work on his touch a little bit, but he can definitely drive the football. And we saw some really good drive throws in this game. So I believe those kind of throws will also be his strength physically moving forward.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. As for Caleb Williams, what I'm about to say is, from my opinion, the fan's point of view, and might be offensive to somebody with your mentality and resume and knowing you. Okay. But seeing McCarthy grow, drop his huggies, if you will, in the fourth quarter, and then watching Caleb go through many of the similar issues as he had last year, gets Bears fans freaked out, man, that he's the one coming after the game saying, you know, it's growth, we're growing, yeah. And then we watch somebody grow up in one quarter, not saying that J.J. McCarthy is now a pro bowler, but the result is enough to crystallize this opinion. And people are freaking out that Ben Johnson isn't going to figure it out with Caleb Williams and vice versa. Your thoughts on that, Kurt Warner?
Well, let me just first say, as I kind of mentioned there, is that the level of difficulty for J.J. McCarthy in this game was way, way lower than the level of difficulty for Caleb Williams.
First start in Chicago on Monday Night Football.
I'm simply talking about the way the game played out, the plays that were called, the throws that they had to make. It was just easier for JJ, you know, with all the things. Like you said, he didn't even have to do anything till the fourth quarter and still had a chance. Like, how many times can you play a game where you really don't do anything as the quarterback until the fourth quarter and you still got a chance to win that game? I thought for Caleb, it was hard work all night long. I have, you know, Twitter people telling me, oh my gosh, he had guys wide open all game long. And you already mentioned my YouTube page, but you know, I already broke down the first half and posted it on my QB Confidential YouTube page. Second half is coming later today. And you can get my breakdown of what Caleb was looking at and what he did in that game. So I thought he played a really, really good game. Now, I say all that to say, I still have questions about Caleb. There were things in the game or things that I saw that, you know, continue to lend themselves to my opinion that he's got a long way to go in terms of settling down, slowing the game down, playing at the pace that he needs to play, you know, seeing things and slowing the mental processes down. I felt, you know, more than I saw that, like when you watch the tape, I didn't see necessarily a lot of that in terms of, you know, he was getting through some reads and he was getting through his third and fourth guy at times, but I just felt it by kind of his body language in the pocket, where I just want to see that kind of settle down and slow down and make me feel as if he's really comfortable with what they're asking him to do. But I thought he played a really, really good game. And if you know, are a football nut and you want to go see what I'm talking about, I'll show you the tape. And there was not a lot of opportunities for him down the field to make plays. And his number one receiver wasn't open a lot in this game. And I thought he did a lot of really, really good things. And, you know, what's been accentuated, of course, and it makes sense, is some critical throws, right? The fourth down throw, got to make it, right? I mean, it's just, that was one of the most open throws he had all night long, and he just missed it. You know, another one to Cole Kmet, you know, down kind of close to the red zone, another open throw that he missed. So there were some key throws that he missed in the game, and I think that's why everybody's looking and panicking. But if you look at the body of work, I thought he played a really, really solid game.
Okay. QB Confidential is the name of Kurt Warner's YouTube channel. Everybody check it out. He's here on the Rich Eisen Show every single Wednesday. We might dub this Warner Wednesdays. Who knows? We're all flying by the seat of our pants. you just saying, hey, you know, check out my YouTube channel. Caleb didn't play as bad of a game as he's being criticized for. Who then, based on your viewing on everything, had the best quarterback performance of week one that folks might need to hear from you about, Kurt?
I mean, if we're just looking at the best quarterback performance, probably snap in to snap out, I might say Daniel Jones. I thought Daniel Jones played an excellent football game. You know that they weren't stopped all day long. They scored on every single drive. He made, you know, some big throws. He managed things really well, just in terms of lack of mistakes and making the things that were there to be made, playing the position. He might have been the best of the weekend. And we had some great performances Sunday night. You know, I thought both those quarterbacks did a lot of really, really good things in the game. Another quarterback that I really like that a lot of people aren't talking about is Michael Penix. I thought Michael Penix played a really, really good game as well. So there were some good performances in the league. But, yeah, Daniel Jones, if I just had to rank him from top to bottom on their play, it might be number one for me.
Daniel Jones, best quarterback Daniel performance Jones. Of the week. Kurt, blink twice if you're in trouble. No, because it's, obviously,
I know.
We saw his last game as a Giant. We called it in Munich last year. And, you know, obviously he wasn't the ultimate reason why they lost the game, but we also understood when the Giants were like, this is it. So it's great to hear that. In that game, though, Tua, what did you see from Tua that might concern you and the Dolphins moving forward, Kurt?
Yeah, you know, I've made this take numerous times about Miami. Like, there's some things that Tua does at an elite level. He's got elite accuracy. He's got great anticipation. His ability to kind of find holes and throw guys open, I think, is really, really unique. But I've made this take about the Miami pass offense for years, is I think it's really hard on a quarterback because, and, you know, I could kind of lump it in, you know, with San Francisco, that their mindset coming from kind of the Kyle Shanahan background is we're going to design everything up front to get our first receiver open. And they do that a lot. They scheme their first guy open, and that's what we see quite often in Miami. And Tua is so good at getting the ball to his first guy, and that stuff's great. But once somebody takes away your number one read, I don't really like the way the pass game is built, the pass concepts are built to get to number two and number three. And what I mean by that is that those number two and number three receivers are not always directly connected to number one. So you hear me talk about it all the time, pure progression versus defender read defense, or pass concept. So as a quarterback, what I want to do is, let's say I have an 18-yard in route, that's one of my guys. And then underneath it in the same zone, I'll have a 5 or 6 yard hook route. And so if number one's not open because the defender drops deep, then I know number two is going to be open because we're attacking that one defender and he can't cover both of the guys. And so I like to build pass concepts that put a defender in conflict. So as a quarterback, I know it's one and then two is going to be open. And then if the next guy squeezes two, then I've got number three that's replacing number, you know, that guy that squeezes. So now I can go directly to number three and it all lines up. In the Miami offense, it's not always like that. It's we're doing everything with everybody else to get number one open. We're going to do a great job of getting number one open, and they do. But once number one is covered, two and three and beyond aren't always directly connected to number one. So it makes it hard for a quarterback when number one's not open to work through his progressions and know where he's going to go and find an open guy. And so that's why, to me, I don't know. Tua may struggle getting to 2, 3, and 4 because he often struggles in that offense doing it. But as a quarterback that watches it, I look and go, man, that's really tough too. Like it's hard to get there. It's hard to know where you're going next or what the next option is, you know, based off of how they took number one away in that offense. So he didn't look very good. Their offense didn't look very good, but we've seen this at a number of times, you know, since Mike McDaniel's been there. We've seen some unbelievable performances where number one gets open a lot and Tua, you know, makes number one open a lot with his accuracy and throwing. And then we've seen games where number one's not open a lot and it looks maybe not this bad, but it's looked bad at times. And so to me, something has to change in that regard. And I know it's hard because, you know, it's a system that has done a great job of creating that number one shot over and over and over again. But it's really, really hard on a quarterback when that's not there or that's not there throughout the course of a day. And you're trying to play makeup sometimes for the scheme, in my opinion.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's turn the page a little bit here. The Lions taking on the Bears, you just saw, and Ben Johnson coming in. And, you know, the narrative about the Lions season, they're going to miss their coordinators. That wasn't erased off of the narrative chalkboard in Green Bay on Sunday, Kurt. And so what did you see from Goff and this Lions offense that might make you think, yeah, they kind of do miss Ben Johnson? Or is that a Packers defense that we're going to learn is going to make offenses look bad all season long, Kurt?
Well, let's say Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, because to me, this was just as bad defensively as it was offensively. Like, I'm watching this tape, and I didn't even think Green Bay did anything fancy. They had simple, sometimes two-man routes, and they had guys wide open all over the place. Like, I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on because, you know, it was just the simplest, most basic concepts, and it was just over and over again, there's a wide-open guy, and there's a wide-open guy, and there's a wide-open guy. So defensively, they weren't good. They weren't able to get any pressure, which is always a concern for them, even with Hutchback. And they were giving up big plays, and it was easy big plays. And so I was worried about the defense. Now let's flip to the offense like you're talking about. And, you know, I thought there was a couple things. First, they didn't run the ball. You know, it's always been built off running the football, and they couldn't get anything going running the football. I thought they got manhandled up front most of the day, whether it was run or pass. And I did think there were some opportunities for Jared Goff down the field, but I felt he was uneasy in the pocket. And, you know, I understand there were a lot of bodies around him most of the day. So I understand, having played the position, how easy it is to get uneasy, you know, when you're playing in a game like that. But there were some opportunities down the field that he didn't take. Thought he was a little bit tentative or getting to his check downs a little bit quickly. You know, so I think it was a good performance at any facet of that team. They didn't look anything close to what they were last year. So I am fully concerned about, you know, the way they looked in week one. Now, I think Green Bay is a good football team. I think they're better than Chicago. And so some of it could surely be, you know, who Green Bay is that made Detroit look as bad as they did. But there was a lot of issues on Sunday all over the place. I could point at every position on that football team, and they looked like a completely different team.
And then you have the Steelers and the Jets last week, and the Jets are taking on the Bills this week. The Steelers are taking on Seattle. Your choice of which quarterback, you can only choose one. It's sports talk radio. It's like a topic bar on Sunday, game day morning, Kurt. Rodgers moving forward, Justin Fields moving forward, who looks just like we saw in week one, certainly against these tough opponents they're facing this weekend.
Yeah, I'll just say, Rich, I wasn't in love with either one of their performances as much as the national media is when you go back and watch it. Now, both did some good things. I mean, Aaron throws four touchdown passes. Obviously, Justin did some really good things as well. But I think there's some flaws there. That Aaron, most of his big plays came off of naked bootlegs, which we talked about on game day morning. That's going to be a part of what they do. Aaron's very, very good at that. But it wasn't, you know, when he had to drop back and play the position like we saw when he was an MVP, I thought he was very uneasy in the pocket, looking to get to his checkdowns very quickly. Some of the things that we had seen a little bit in the past. And then when he got out in space where he felt really comfortable, he was awesome. So I expect them to do more of that. And so I'm probably going to lean towards Aaron in just the scheme and just knowing, you know, what he's capable of as a quarterback, him moving forward. Justin, I thought, had a good game. I still felt like, you know, he was behind a little bit with, you know, the timing and seeing some things throwing the football, even though he's a tremendous playmaker. And when he was on the move and throwing the ball, or when he was on the move and running the ball, he was doing Justin Fields type stuff. I just don't know, you know, and again, he's run for over 1,000 yards in a season. So to say that I don't know if he can do that every week is probably crazy to say. But I just need to see more from him when a team takes some of that away. I mean, Pittsburgh defense, you know, didn't play very well. They were able to do whatever they wanted, really, the Jets. But I want to see more of, is there growth as a pocket passer? And when he's got to carry them more by reading it and throwing it than I saw in this first game. So to your question, I'll lean towards Aaron Rodgers, although hopefully, you know, all that stuff that Justin does really, really well. He's made some growth in the dropback area as well. And we'll see a good Jets product the rest of the year.
And to finish up, to be fair and balanced to our New York listening audience on ESPN Radio, is it fair to say that Russell Wilson needs to beat the Giants to beat the Cowboys in order for Jackson the Dart to not be put in? Or what did you see to make you think, don't put a rookie here yet? Yeah. What's going through Brian Daboll's head is just, I guess, the overarching question here, Kurt, do you think?
I would say that's what I saw. Is I didn't see a very good performance by their offense. And this wasn't just about Russell Wilson. Again, it wasn't like the Caleb situation where there are guys running free all over the place and Russell just can't get it to him, or Russell just can't see them. That wasn't the case. I was really disappointed kind of with what I saw from their offense. I don't know. I love Coach Daboll. I think he's very creative. And I just didn't see that in this game. And, you know, maybe that was circumstantial because of, you know, situations they found themselves in or whatever. But I just didn't like their offense performance. And you can have your feelings about who Russell is at this point in his career. I have, you know, my opinions on that. But this wasn't, to me, a game where if you put another quarterback in there, this looks completely different based on how it played out. Now, I'll say the caveat to that is, if you believe Russell Wilson is a certain kind of player now and is not as creative and is not as athletic as he used to be, and this is the product that you think you're going to have every time out, where it's going to be a struggle for guys to separate, and you're not going to have a bunch of guys wide open. And you believe Jackson Dart in his youth can bring a little more to the table than Russell Wilson can. That's a different story. If you believe he can do some things when the scheme doesn't open it up for him, that Jackson Dart can do some things for your football team, and Russell can't at this stage in his career, now I think you may consider that part of it. And again, I'm not sure Jackson Dart is necessarily that guy that's going to live in the athletic world, but we know he's got the ability to create and make some plays and make some plays on the move. I just kind of see Russell and him in similar fashion in terms of, you know, how they're doing that, you know, at this stage. But that to me is the real question, is that I don't think you throw him in there if you expect this to be what your offense is for the next few weeks against these good football teams. But if you're saying this is all we're going to have, and, you know, Russell's just not in a position at this career to create and give us some extra, maybe that's when you make that decision and say, hey, we're going to go to Jackson because we think we get a little bit more in that regard.
You're the man, Kurt. I'll see you on Sunday on NFL Game Day.
All right, buddy.
Get some rest, man. Hydrate. Get some rest. We'll chat soon.
All right, pal.
That's Kurt Warner. And that just scratched the surface of what he gives you on his YouTube channel, QB Confidential. Go check it out on YouTube.
Warner Wednesdays, you.
That's right. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Don't you dare move. Frank Caliendo making his way here. Same with my power rankings.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Brooks Running reminds us that we're all powered by something. Whether it's the me time energy of a run after a day at the office, the electrifying energy of your first marathon, or the infectious energy of a group run with your friends. No matter what energy powers you, Brooks has gear specifically designed to unleash it. So lace up and let it out. Let's run there. Visit brooksrunning.com today to learn more.
On the Rich Eisen Show, Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. They offer auto, home, and commercial auto insurance, plus a variety of business insurance options. Visit progressive.com today. Listen, everything about us is precious and important. Did you know Jalen Carter's spittle is worth $57,000?
Yeah, I did see that.
So a whole mouthful of it could be worth millions. If you bottle that. The NFL's basically say keep it where it is. Jalen suspended without pay for one game for his active unsportsmanlike conduct in last Thursday game against the Cowboys because Carter was disqualified before participating in a single play. The suspension is considered to have been served in week 1. Time served. And he's going to forfeit his game check, $57,000 in change. Whew. Listen, Bill Romanowski wasn't suspended. Is there any history of suspending somebody for spitting on somebody else?
There's not.
Okay.
Yeah, so, it should have started.
Well, he did. He got suspended for game 1.
It should have been like a month.
Hey, man, you got to play an entire game without Jalen Carter. If there's anybody that should sit here and be upset about it, it's Kansas City Chiefs fans that thought, oh, my gosh, maybe we get the same thing. I'm wondering if Dak spitting first, even though it was down and not at him. I mean, he spat down and then gave this big old grin on his face.
Because he was, you know, I guess they were
baiting him. Was he baiting him?
No, baiting him. He said that
these guys spit 1,000 times a game.
But Carter was trash talking the rookie lineman, Dak was like he wasn't going to. He stepped up to him because he was.
Yeah,
Carter was trying to get into the rookie's head, I guess.
Man, Dak, the most famous second spitter since Roger McDowell. Although he was the first spitter.
He was the first spitter in
chronological order. He was the first spitter. Right. Jalen Carter was the second spitter. But in terms of us learning about who spat, he was the second spitter.
Now, see, this morning we had to talk about people that young people wouldn't remember, and you brought up a name, and now we're bringing up a second spitter in Roger McDowell. I'm sure those kids don't know anything about.
Well, I mean, Seinfeld lives forever.
Yeah, but that was an
early season episode.
Was it? I don't think so.
Like that was
guess
like
what though
three
guess what we are who we are around here.
That's what I'm saying.
We are who we are around here, and Jalen Carter.
Yes, I guess better. Season three on that.
So if he had, by the way, the reactions that I've also been seeing is people are blaming NBC's crew for not finding the video of Dak spitting until the second half. Like they're all sitting around twiddling their thumbs. They got a game to actually broadcast. And they do have NBC's great at what they do. I just saw it because the NBC crew NBC's crew produced the YouTube game.
Oh.
So we work with the NBC group. Like, what do you think? They're sitting around like playing Sudoku? They got the rest of that first half to broadcast. Finally, somebody scrubbed it and they found it.
Well, I think
they found it, period.
I think that was during the delay. I think I brought that up.
Oh, yeah, was that what it was?
Yeah. I brought that up on Monday.
Okay. Yeah, it was during the delay. They found it during that hour long thing? Because, again, I don't recall anything. I was out of it.
Yeah, they found it during the delay.
Okay. Listen, I'm sure Chiefs fans, you were hoping not to see Jalen Carter, but there's no precedence in the. So if he spat at him in the third quarter,
out.
Then he's out. He'd be out for the next game, because they're making it seem like it's time served. That's right. Why we didn't suspend you.
Well, Chris brought that up on Monday to everyone else.
What?
Well, Chris was the first one to go when we were talking about suspension. Yeah. I don't know if we were on air or not. Chris was like, "Well, he already missed that game, so maybe that is the suspension." And
another game. I'm just glad the fix isn't in for the Chiefs again this year. So that's fine.
See? I'm with you, Chris.
You know what I mean?
Dude. Yes. Don't get me started on that.
Get him in the Super Bowl.
Get out of here with this business. You sound and I'm raising one of them in my own house. I don't understand where Cooper.
That's where
Cooper
I get it from you. No, I get it from him. Yeah. I think your son's bad influence.
You know, I mean, the reason why the Chiefs win is because of the referees and Taylor Swift and Roger Goodell. He said those words out loud, and I'm like, look at the ceiling.
That's your house.
Roger Goodell helped put that above your head.
That's your house.
You know that bedroom you sleep in?
Yeah. It's
like, yeah.
Next to the Taylor Swift fan? of the house. The Taylor Swift stuff is because his older brother is into that.
Yeah.
And then he strolls in, and he's just like, you know, the Chiefs are on, then he'll sit down. I think infuriates Cooper. Frank Caliendo is coming up in hour number two right here on the program.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Yo, this is important, man. My favorite Lululemon shorts, the ones you got me back in the day, I think they're Pace Breakers, the ones with all the pockets. Well, I just got back from vacation and I think I left them in my hotel room. And dude, I need to replace these shorts. I wear them like every day with that Lulu hoodie you got me. Could you send me the link to where you got them? Thanks, bro. Talk soon.
Looking for your newest go-tos? Shop Lululemon's best sellers now at lululemon.com.